Hey guys, welcome to Faith on Fleek. I'm Cadence Melville.
And I'm Cooper McFessel.
And we're your hosts. I'm in 10th grade. I'm 15 years old. And I started coming to church to the Ridge about 6 months ago. And I started my walk with Christ about 5 months ago.
Yes, and I am the youth pastor here at the Ridge Assembly. Me and my husband Jared are the youth pastors. And we have just absolutely loved getting to know Cadence and having her start coming to youth and to the church and get involved in everything. And so I'm super excited to get to start the podcast.
Very excited. So
go ahead and just talk a little bit about how you got the idea to do this podcast.
So I listened to a podcast called Girls Gone Bible, and it gave me a lot of inspiration for our church to really like have perspectives of Cooper, the youth pastor, and me like a student here. And just talk about what we think the church needs to hear about.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it will be really good to have both of our perspectives, mm-hmm. just kind of like talking about, you know, ways that we're growing and learning and things that we're things that we're learning about personally that can apply to other people.
Yeah.
And especially like the differing in our perspectives will be interesting because I am a youth pastor. I have been, you know, serving the Lord for a really long time. I mean, basically my whole life.
Yeah.
And
I just started not too long ago.
And things are kind of new to you. And so we've talked about before mm-hmm. how like that is good to get both of those perspectives of someone who's been, like when we read things in scripture, like the ways that it processes in my brain compared to yours. And mm-hmm. sometimes like there's things that I pick up because I have like other knowledge of other things to connect to or things
yeah.
that you pick up because like it's fresh and new to you mm-hmm. and like things that I may miss when I'm reading. And so we've talked about that before, how that's yeah. cool and mm-hmm. interesting. And so I think that'll be cool to have on the podcast. And we do plan to have
Special guests,
yes. So they'll get to add some different perspective to when we have other people on here. But I'm super excited. I think it's going to be really awesome. Mm-hmm. And so we hope that you guys who are listening will just get some good perspective and be yeah. able to learn and grow with us.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go ahead and tell us about today's topic.
So our topic is murder begins in the heart. And I was reading this in my Bible a couple weeks ago, and it really like clicked in my brain and really made me think about a lot of things. So I guess I can go ahead and read it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Matthew 5:21 verses 26 through 21. You have heard that our ancestors were told you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. When you are on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you will be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the last penny. So this verse really stuck out, and it's not really about actually murdering someone like Cain murdered Abel, but it's about your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've discussed this verse a lot, or this passage mm-hmm. a lot between just me and you. A couple weeks ago, you came to me and were, you know, talking about how you had read this and how, like, at first it was kind of confusing.
Yeah.
And, like, seemed like, what is going on here? and like I said, that is, like, to be expected when you haven't read things like this before. Mm-hmm. It just kind of hits you like, whoa, what, like, what's going on here? So we sat down and talked, like, there's a deeper meaning to this. You know, it's not like if you ever have a bad thought about anyone, you're, like, a murderer, literally,
yeah.
right? But it's, like, there's more to it than that. And we've discussed that. So that's what we want to discuss on here and mm-hmm. kind of break that down and the yeah. things that we have talked about. So you have stuff written down that you
yes.
want to.
So This is on the verse I just read. It says, everyone, Jesus says, who is angry with his brother or sister shall be guilty and therefore liable for judgment. God's righteousness does not come from simply abstaining from murdering your brother, as Cain murdered Abel, like I said earlier. Righteousness comes from the heart, not being angry at your brother and thereby murdering him in the heart. Since we know that God is the ultimate judge, he can see the thoughts and intents of our hearts. We need to enter his kingdom through righteous living, meaning we should not hold grudges, judge, and live in anger, but instead we need to live in a way that reflects a relationship with God and learn to think about what we do and say. And all of the examples from verses 21 through 23 show that in addition to our actions, the things we say to people and the things we think all determine if we are being righteous or unrighteous. When Jesus says, whoever says you fool will be subject to hellfire, when he says this, he means that our inward anger and hurtful words can cause us to miss out on good consequences. Smoldering anger rots our joy and destroys relationships. It breaks down our physical health and robs us of fulfillment. Our world presents its lifestyle as pleasurable, satisfying, and beneficial, but Jesus makes it perfectly clear that the true reality is the opposite. Not entering the kingdom through righteous living is like living among sewage and rot.
Yeah, that's good. There's a part that you said just then that stuck out to me. Let me look at it real quick, because now I'm forgetting. Where are we at here?
I said kind of.
You said the world presents to us mm-hmm. that its lifestyle is pleasurable, satisfying, beneficial, and I think that really applies. Which this is something that just kind of hit me that I haven't thought about before when discussing this. You know, it's really culturally normal to. Kind of have an attitude towards people like I'm looking out for myself, like what other, like if someone says something to me, like I'm cutting them off, mm-hmm. like if anything ever goes down between us, like you wronged me and like you're toxic and like we're done, and you know, and that's kind of like the culture of the world. That's kind of even the idea of like cancel culture is really popular right now, of like the world having this idea that we should hold these like bitter grudges. Feelings and grudges towards people mm-hmm. because they say like that's protecting our peace.
Yeah.
But really it's stealing not, our right. And like you said, it's stealing our joy mm-hmm. And kind of like the idea of, you know, forgiveness comes into play a lot with the things that we're talking about with this verse. Cause I mean, if someone is actually, you know, continuously being truly toxic towards you, mm-hmm. it's not like you have to, you know, be best friends with them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't harbor those bitter and anger feelings. Right. But the world really wants to present that mm-hmm. to us as like, your life's going to be better if you cut everybody off and get mad at anything that ever is done to you. And I feel like even on social media, they're so like, I see it all the time. And I even like recently have had to pray like, Lord, protect me from this mindset, because I see stuff all the time that's like almost trying to create division. And I guess in my experience, it does it a lot with like marriage mm-hmm. just because I'm on like marriage TikTok, I guess. Like I see reels about marriage, TikTok, not Instagram reels, not TikToks. I'm not on TikTok that much. But I see reels that are like just saying like, you know, your marriage is bad if your husband has ever said something like this to you, or mm-hmm. you know, you know you found the right person if they never do this and this or whatever. And there is a certain point to like, yes, like a good husband is going to act good to you. Yes. Mm-hmm. But it's like trying to create this idea that like someone, you should be bitter towards someone for almost like everything wrong that they could ever do, especially in marriage. Like if your husband doesn't always do the dishes, like you need to be mad at him and like mm-hmm. tell him how it is. Like I see stuff like that all the time. And like, you cannot like follow what the world says about feeling your feelings towards other people. Cause then there's always a reason to be like upset with someone mm-hmm. or to have bad feelings for someone. Any person on the planet, like the world, can give you a reason to be upset with them, you know? So I think that was really good.
That's
what
a really
you
good
said.
Explanation.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't think I thought about it like that either. Really.
Yeah, and I haven't really before until you said that, and it kind of just like sparked that in me. But yeah. We have to be careful to protect ourselves from what the world wants us to think, mm-hmm. and it's the world is always going to say the opposite of what God says. Yeah. That's a good way to tell if you should mm-hmm. listen to something. If it's the opposite of what God says, probably not. You know, but you have more that you are gonna. Read with that, or you want to go to the next scripture?
Well, I have another reference verse. Okay. It's Matthew 12:34-37. It says, "For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So this kind of means like the way we treat others and speak to them matters a great deal to God. But also it is not sufficient for us to merely avoid murdering or physically harming someone and trying to be righteous just in order to please God and get his rewards. We need to want to be righteous in our hearts and not just to gain rewards. And we need to make sure we are reconciled with our brothers and sisters before offering at the altar.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people just want to... They read stuff and they see stuff like we need to be good to get rewards from God, and they don't really want that. They just want to please him.
Yeah, it's not because they actually care about doing what's right, just because mm-hmm. they want to get the reward.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this before. I said the lyrics from a song by Tiffany Hudson called Obey.
Mm-hmm.
I love because it says, "I will obey not because I have to, but because I love you," and like talking to God, and that's what she's saying to him. And it's like, I mean, that's so true. Like, I don't think it counts if you're being nice to other people and acting, I'm doing quotation marks, nobody can see me, acting in quotes, good to other people just because you don't want God to punish you or to like be upset with you mm-hmm. or whatever. But it's like that doesn't really matter because then it's not really in your mm-hmm. heart.
Yeah.
And like God is looking at your heart, not like, you know, the Bible says that man looks on outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And mm-hmm. so your outward appearance can be perfect, but if your heart is wrong, then that's what God sees. And other people may think, wow, they're the nicest person I've ever met. Like, mm-hmm. but if your heart is not really there and not really to be good to other people and to, you know, have the right thoughts towards people, then God knows that. Like, mm-hmm. but oftentimes I think it's true that, you know, whatever's in your heart is going to come out eventually.
Yeah.
And you can only keep those appearances up for so long before someone like finally, like, you know, hits you on just the right button.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, it's going to come out at some mm-hmm. point. Yeah.
That's right.
If you get mad enough or you get frustrated enough, you know.
And then it'll come out.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. it will. And then you can't take it back.
Yeah.
So you gotta make sure that what's inside. And also, if inside is not really right, you're not going to feel good.
Yeah.
You're going to feel worse, actually. I honestly think if you have like a bad heart towards people, it would just be better to show it than to be fake.
Because
if you're hiding it, then you're not only like having a bad heart towards people, but you're also like living in a lie.
Yeah.
And that just feels like double
terrible.
Bad.
Yeah.
But I don't think you should have a bad heart towards people. But if you're going to, don't be fake, you know? But did you have more that you were going to read?
So we have another reference verse.
Okay.
And it's James 3. This one has a lot. So it says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault and what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done, and the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, in quotation marks, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and spiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So that's a lot right there. But the thing that really sticks out to me is where it says the tongue is a fire. And with the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and we also curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. And I feel like a lot of people do that, and we don't even realize it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think that, and I told you I was going to be preaching on this stuff at the Back to School retreat, and then I ended up not. I preached something else. But I still am planning to preach about kind of, It was funny because I had started writing my sermon based on these verses, and then we, you know, started doing this kind of at the same time. But I still am going to preach on it. And something that I have that I'm planning to talk about is, oh my goodness, I just left my brain what I was about to say. What did you just say?
The tongue is a fire.
A lot of people don't. Here we go. Okay. I did some research on American culture versus other countries and in their culture. And it was interesting what I found, because I was thinking, you know, there's some things in the Bible that I feel like we overlook because of just what our culture is so easily accepting of, when it's really not. It doesn't make it right. But like our culture, there was like three main points that I found of what I feel like really set us apart in this area. Was one, we're really an individualistic culture. And so in that's versus a idea of collectivism, which is where, in individualism, you're really out to build yourself up and kind of like make a name for yourself and make decisions based on what's best for you. Mm-hmm. Where collectivism is like you're making decisions based on what's best for the group as a whole and trying to like, you know, protect the name and the reputation and the image of the group. So it's like family or even like the country as a whole. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of like countries that operate in that more like collectivist mindset, and we're more individualistic. And then also it was like the idea of a power distance. So in other cultures, it's called a high power distance, where essentially, you know, if I like have a teacher or a pastor or my parents or my authority, in any authority figure, I view them almost as like royalty. Mm-hmm. And I'm very like, I'm way beneath you and you're way above me. And then in America, we're much more like buddy-buddy with people who are in authority over us, right? So like we don't have this idea that your teacher walks in the classroom and you need to like go wash their feet or like bow down to them or something like that. In other places, it's like that. And then the last thing was our formality. We're really informal in American culture compared to other countries. Like in some places you don't, it's not like socially acceptable to talk about your emotions or your opinions or your thoughts on things. Mm-hmm. And in America,
we do that all the time.
Everyone says what they think about everything.
Yeah.
Like, and so I say all that because it's natural for us to kind of just like spout out whatever's in our minds,
yeah,
or to think about, like I said, what's just best for us, not what's best for the group, mm-hmm, or to, you know, kind of lack this idea of like respecting people around you because of all those things I just mentioned. And so I think it's culturally acceptable to, you know, just kind of spout out like, oh, you're dumb for thinking that, you know, like, cause you have this opinion that they're wrong, but like, we don't think it's important as much as maybe other cultures, yeah, of, mm-hmm, how you say things and like when to say things and who you're talking to. Mm-hmm. And we're not as aware of that.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just become so culturally acceptable, even in Christians, to just not be careful about the way they talk.
Yeah.
Because that's just how we say our opinions. We, yep, say whatever we think. We're just very open, if that makes sense. And it's not bad that we're open. That can be good in certain cases, but careful.
Mm-hmm.
You can be open, but careful. And so I think that's why, like, that's part of why we so easily overlook this idea that you have to, like, be careful about what you say and about your words. And,
yeah.
And just how you treat other people is so much tied into the way that you speak.
Yeah.
It's not just doing good things or doing nice things, but just the way that you talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of leads me into one question I was going to say is, why do you think it's so important how you speak to, and not just speak to, but about other people?
I think it's important because, like, God is judging us, right? So we need to have a righteous heart, and we need to speak kindly to others, mm-hmm, and nicely to others, and have nice thoughts about people, because whenever judgment day comes around, are we going to be accepted or are we going to, mm-hmm, be declined into the kingdom, mm-hmm, of heaven?
Yeah.
And I think that's things we don't think about a lot. Like,
yeah,
we just let things slip out. And even if they're rude, mm-hmm, or hurtful to others, sometimes we don't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, that's true. And, you know, it, when you are, you know, thinking about the fact that one day you have to, like you read earlier, give an account for everything that you said.
Yeah.
That changes your perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, goodness, like that really makes you think one day, yeah, God is going to look at me and be like, what you were you thinking?
This. Yeah.
Like, why did you say that? And you're going to be like, well, I was just kind of being careless. And you know, like, I don't have a good answer for, yeah, that, you know? So it makes you like think you need to be more careful about what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And also I just think, like, you know, your words and the way that you treat other people and like I said, if you feel badly towards people, eventually it's going to come out in the way you treat them.
Yeah.
And so, like, the way that you treat other people really is important to your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to talk to other people about Jesus, if you want to claim to be a Christian and you want to invite people to church or, you know, talk to them about, you know, the things like this, like if we're gonna be on this podcast,
yeah,
like, and try to talk to other people about God, then we have to live that out,
mm-hmm,
not just in that moment, but all the time.
Yeah.
Or else it's like, oh, that's Cadence from the Faith on Fleet podcast talking about that person bad in the comments on that social media post.
Yeah.
Like, oh goodness, like, mm-hmm, now I don't want to listen to anything she said because, yeah, now I know the truth about her. You know, like, that's just, yeah, an example, you know? not like that's going to happen, but, you know, that's,
yeah,
it affects your credibility as, mm-hmm, a Christian. And if people are going to really believe you, we have to be authentic.
Yeah.
For sure.
I feel like a lot of Christians say they're Christians, but they don't act like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a thing we need to work on too. Like, we, yeah, say we are saved. We say we have a relationship with God. We say we follow God and do all these things to please him, but we're really not.
Yeah.
And people just say that and they do all the bad things that we're not supposed to do. And they say they're,
yeah,
they're good and stuff. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And, like, in that case, you can say whatever you want about yourself.
Yeah.
But the truth is going to show.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, and then again, like I said earlier, you're caught up in just kind of being fake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that we're not going to mess up sometimes, or we're not, you know, like that's, we're going to sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not always going to say the exact right thing or even have the right feelings all mm-hmm. the time. Like, there's going to be times when I get frustrated with somebody, maybe want to say something out of frustration.
Yeah.
But it's learning about controlling that and stuff. Because like you said, you know, I don't want it to ever be said about me
mm-hmm.
that I was one of those people,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And so to go back to kind of that first passage that we talked about, with, you know, murder coming from the heart. And we talked about, you know, that's not just physically hurting people. It's about what's in your heart towards them. And we've kind of talked about how that can affect other people. But how do you think it goes beyond just affecting other people?
Mm-hmm.
It affects us
yeah.
probably even more than it affects other
them.
People if we hold on to mm-hmm. these angry or bitter or, you know, resentful feelings towards people. So how do you think that affects us as well, personally?
I think it affects us because, in general, it just puts us in a bad mood. Like, whenever, like, I have hurtful feelings about someone, it makes me feel bad in general.
Yeah.
And then, like, my whole mood is, like bad.
Yes.
So I feel like a lot of people think bad about people and then...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because I know whenever, because no one's perfect, and I've said bad things about uh-huh. people I shouldn't have said, and it doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
It makes me feel worse than it makes
yeah.
them feel, probably, because we're the ones thinking about it, and
yeah.
they probably just brush it off. Or
yeah.
it could be the opposite, but.
Yeah. But in some cases, it is, like, then you feel, like, and sometimes that bad feeling that you get is, like, conviction,
yeah.
and then you need to pray about
mm-hmm.
it and ask the Lord to forgive you, and maybe you need to ask that other person to forgive you as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just makes you feel bad, because then you have to, the thing is, we have to live with the consequences of how our words affect other
yeah.
people.
Mm-hmm.
As in, if I am rude and hateful to somebody, or I have bad feelings towards somebody, you know, the way that that possibly is affecting their life, you know, if you really realize, like, oh, when they're, like, when I'm around them, they just seem so much more, like, insecure, or
mm-hmm.
so much more, like, nervous, or,
yeah.
you know, just upset. And then you have to, like, you have to carry the
yeah.
weight of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you know, if you tell someone you could never do something like this. You could never go be a doctor. You
yeah.
know, they say, I want to go to medical school. And then you're like, you could never do that. You're not smart enough
mm-hmm.
for that. You know, like, just an example, if you go say
yeah.
something like that, and then, like, what if they don't do it? And then
because
later on you
said.
Realize, like, they didn't do that because of me.
Yeah.
Then you have to, like, live with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't, like, we, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to live with guilt
mm-hmm.
for things that we've done in the past. So, you know, if you have been in a situation like that, you can be forgiven.
Yeah.
And you can move on. And the Lord doesn't want you to feel guilty forever. But still, you always have to know, like, they didn't do that because of me. Or, you know, that these things went down because of something I said or the way I treated them. And it just doesn't feel good, period. Like,
yeah.
you have to deal with that. And you also have to think about, like, I'm going to try to find the verse real quick. See if I can pull it up. It says in Ezekiel, sorry, I'm like, searching out there. Okay. It says, and this is like a little bit of a different context, but it can be applicable kind of. It says, if I warn the wicked saying you are under the penalty of death, but you fail to deliver this warning, they will die in their sins and I will hold you responsible for their death. So basically saying, like, it's talking about, you know, if you you know, if there's someone in your life who you know is living wrong and mm-hmm. you know that you need to tell them about Jesus and you don't, then you are like held accountable for the fact that they did not turn from their sin.
Yeah.
And the same thing I think can be true, you know, when you speak death over somebody, or like not literally death, but like spiritually, you know, like when you speak bad things to someone or over them in their life, and those things have an effect on their life, you're like, you can be held accountable for the ways that their life was damaged because of the things that you said or the way that you treated them. And so that's a really difficult thing to have to live with.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like you said, it just makes you feel bad.
In general,
like, I mean, I don't think there's anyone on the planet who could say, I felt worse about myself after I started being nice to people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't. I mean, maybe there's somebody out there, but I mean, if you're doing it genuinely, now, like I said, if you're being fake, you probably still don't feel good. But someone who's genuinely turned their life around and started treating people, you know, in a godly way, I don't think they ever feel worse about themselves or worse about their life. You know, I think it only makes it better. But another thing I wanted to ask about on this topic was, it says, don't call someone a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Or like another translation, don't call somebody an idiot. Like, what is that really meaning? Because obviously we speak English. The Bible wasn't even originally written in English. Mm-hmm. Like, it was written in a different language. And so they're not even using the same words that we use when it was written. So God didn't literally, like, you know, say, don't say the word idiot, mm-hmm. right? Like, what? Kind of like elaborate on what that really means.
He's meaning like, don't talk bad about others and don't talk down on them. Mm-hmm. We need to talk nice to people and we need to have a righteous heart and we need to not let our feelings or like bad, hurtful things we have inside about other people. Like, we need to change that and have good things about people in our hearts. And we need to not talk bad about people.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty.
A lot of people struggle with that.
Yes.
I know a lot of people that talk bad about people.
Yes. And I mean, that's pretty simple.
Like, yeah.
And like, we've talked about this before also. Like, some people think, oh, if I just don't like say bad words, or if I don't, you know, do that, then I'm like, then I'm good.
Then you're free,
Yeah. But the Bible doesn't have a list of words that you can't say. It's talking in general, which kind of gets to me sometimes because mm-hmm. I sometimes say things, I'm like, you know what? God in his mind probably views what I'm saying equal with the cuss words that I'm not going to say. It's like, he probably feels the same way mm-hmm. when I talk bad about somebody as if I said a cuss word,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it, cause he doesn't have the English language words written out in a list of what we're not supposed to say, you know? And some people take that as like, oh, well, the Bible doesn't say I can't say it, so then I can do it. But it's not like that. It's even more broad than we think it is, mm-hmm. you know, like there's even more that we should not say than what we think.
Yeah.
And so that makes me really think sometimes, like, I don't want to say anything that's harsh or mm-hmm. hateful or
hurtful.
Hurtful at all. Like, calling people names, you know, you don't just have to call them a bad word for it to be wrong. You mm-hmm. know, calling them anything that's in a negative way is still, you know, I feel like hurting the heart of God just the same.
Yeah.
So yes, definitely. It just don't talk bad about people. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
And so, last question I have is, if, you know, if we're going to say don't do this, what is the best way that you think can help you control the way that you speak?
Focusing on keeping our heart pure is very important.
Yes.
We need to make sure that our heart is righteous instead of unrighteous. And that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
We just need to make sure we watch what we say and watch what we think, because bad thoughts can also, like, hurt us in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if it's not in your heart, it's probably not going to come out. So the best way to control your mouth is to control your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, like, you don't have to worry about trying to control your tongue as much if what's in your heart doesn't need to be controlled. You know, like, if you have good things in your heart, then you want to let them come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You don't have to be worried about it as much. And I would say, even, you know, in those times where, even though, you know, I feel like I do have a pretty good heart towards people. There's times when my flesh, you know, like wants to just get frustrated or get upset and say something that I probably don't even really mean because it's just out of frustration. And in those moments, I would just say, like, you have to think about the future and think about and think before you speak. Like, don't be so careless and uncareful about what comes out. Because sometimes, you know, even when you do have a pure heart, it can be hard. Especially because I feel like when I was in high school, I was always around people who were talking bad about people and who were, you know, having bitterness and having anger and being toxic. And it's hard sometimes not to just pick up the habit, even when you don't really feel it in your heart. When you're around people who are talking that way constantly, it can be hard not to just do it because it's constantly coming in your ear, you know? And so I would say to that, make sure that you're equally putting in good things, like staying in the word, praying. You know, if you're gonna, like, you don't have the choice a lot of times, especially when you're in high school, you don't have the choice, like, who you're around in class and things like that. You don't have the choice to control what you're hearing. But because of that, you need to be even more intentional about when you're at home or when you're at church, really receiving, like, good things so that your heart doesn't take in the bad things, you know, and thinking before you speak.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so, another thing I wanted to say was whenever we were reading Matthew 5, 21, 26, and Matthew 5, 21 through 26, another thing is, because I thought about this whenever I read it for the first time, is about our parents.
Yes.
Because we, I feel like a lot of people get frustrated with their parents. A lot of people say hurtful things to their parents, even when they don't mean them. And we need to respect them because they do a lot of things for us, and we don't even realize how much. Like, they cook us food. They supply us with our house and our bed and our shower and all this stuff. And we really don't look at it that way, I feel like.
Yes.
And you said with you last time about how Jared, you and Jared.
Yes. Yes. What? I'm trying to remember.
About how sometimes you get frustrated with Jared, like in a marriage.
Yes, like sometimes even in your relationship, in your marriage, you know, you can get frustrated, but it's important that you have enough respect for that person, that you don't let that frustration or, you know, and it's not, it's not always wrong, you know, when you have a conflict with somebody. Yeah. That's going to happen. It's not necessarily a sin that you are conflicting in opinions with someone, you know, that what can become sinful is how you respond to that conflict. You know, I get frustrated with Jared about something, or he gets frustrated with me, or, you know, maybe it's just because we had a long day and we're both really tired and we're just not at 100% to be able to, like, give each other good attitudes, you know. And so then it's like, well, that's not wrong. It's not wrong that we disagree on something. It's not wrong that, you know, we're not seeing eye to eye in a moment, but what is important is how we react to that. You know, if we still keep that respect for each other. And the same thing is true with your parents. Like, a lot of teenagers think they know better than their parents. And you know what? I'll be honest. I don't think it's fair to say that parents are always right.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and that may not be something that parents want to hear, but you know, that was something my parents were always good at saying is, you know, like, we know that we're not perfect and we don't always get everything right. And, like, it's okay if you come to us and say, like, I don't like this, or I don't agree with this, or, you know, if you have a different opinion than me, but let's talk about it respectfully with each other. Because that is possible. You know, like, you can talk to each other about something if you're having a disagreement, or if you just aren't seeing eye to eye. You don't have to build up anger
or get into an argument or anything.
Right. Yeah. And so but at the end of the day, especially with parents, you have to submit to them. And so if you do try to work out your conflict and it doesn't end up how you want it to, you have to be okay with that. You know, like, you have to respect what they say and honor them.
Yeah.
And just be okay with the fact that you're the child and they're the parent. And you're like, I teach in kids church all the time. When you respect your parents, when you obey your parents, you're respecting and obeying God because they're the authority that he put in your life to take care of you. And so it's not just about how you treat them. How you're treating them is how you're treating God, essentially. And so, I think that's a really good point to bring up, especially for students.
Yeah, students. And I like how we have two different perspectives, too.
Yes, yes, I do, too. And it's like, it's cool because I'm not necessarily in that same boat, like with my family.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was, but I'm not there right now, and you are.
Yeah.
And then, like, you're not, you know, seeing from a marriage perspective, but I am, you know, in that now. And so it is helpful, I think, because hopefully we'll have students listening to this and maybe some adults, too. So they can get a little bit of both perspectives.
Yeah.
But is there anything else you want to add?
So I have one more verse, but I'm not going to read it because we've already read a lot. But it's Matthew 15, verses 17 through 20. And I have like a little like background information. And I wrote, our words, statements, and the things we say can often reveal the true nature of our hearts. And we basically already talked about that.
Yeah.
But we just need to make sure that the things we say, the things we think about others, are we doing it? Like, is it good? Mm-hmm. Is it righteous? Or is it unrighteous? And that's basically it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So to those of you who are listening, we want to encourage you to think about this and really try to apply it to your life. And, you know, I'll say this about our future episodes. Like, we will talk about things that are challenging, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I feel like this is especially for our first episode, like, we come in with a real hard hitter today.
Yeah, we do.
This is not just like a, you know, happy, like, encouraging thing. You know, it's kind of like challenging.
Yeah.
And so just take that as like, we're talking about these kinds of things to be able to challenge you in a good way, because like, we in the end, we do want you to be encouraged and to be able to grow as, you know, as we're growing. And there's a verse that, you know, Paul says when he's talking and he says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so, like, that is my goal, that, you know, as we're learning and growing about things in the Bible and our relationship with God is growing, that we're able to help other people grow too. And it's not out of like, we're not talking about this to like criticize you or be like,
you did
everybody's
this.
Wrong for this. You know, it's like, we're talking about this because if you truly start to apply this to your life, and we talked about this when you first read this verse, it's like, this is not like God's mad at you for this.
Yeah.
Like,
and he's not trying to make you scared or anything.
Yeah, it's not to make you scared or to feel, you know, condemned, but it's to encourage you to grow so you can become more like him.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you want to add?
If you guys have any questions or anything,
yes,
you can put them in the comments.
Yes, or like, and topics you want us to discuss in the future.
It.
Yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, leave us a comment. And if you have comments on anything we talked about today,
let us know
what you think about it. So thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited that we're starting this. I can't wait to do the next one.
Me too.
So, and I didn't say this. We'll be doing this once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So once a month, we'll put out a new episode. We're living busy lives.
Yeah.
So once a month is the best we can get right now. Be watching.
Listening.
Yeah, be listening, not watching. Be listening. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening.
Thanks for listening.
And we will see you next time.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.